A missing painting looted by the Nazis in the Second World War has been found hanging in the home of a Dutch SS commander's descendants. The painting is a portrait of a young girl by the Dutch artist Toon Kelder. And one of the key figures in this revelation is art detective Arthur Brand, who's often called the Indiana Jones of the art world. Arthur Brand, welcome to Sunday Extra.
Thank you.
Now, Arthur, you've described this case as the most bizarre case of your entire career, which is really saying something, given some of the cases you've been involved in. To give us a sense of that context, I wonder if you could tell us to begin with, what is, say, on the short list of bizarre cases that you've been involved in during your career?
Well, you know, I've recovered quite a few things during my career of 20 years. Big cases were Hitler's horses, his favorite statues. Everybody thought them to be destroyed after World War II. But together with the German police, I managed to recover them in hands of neo-Nazis, old Nazis. I wrote a book about that. And the ring of Oscar Wilde that was stolen from Oxford, Picasso, Van Gogh, you know, all kind of stuff like that. Also looted art from World War II before, once in the Louvre, of all places, once in the Dutch Royal Collection, which was quite shameful. I'm Dutch myself, you know. So I have had a career with some strange finds, but this one beats them all.
Well, that is the extraordinary thing, because when you hear that list, it is an incredible list of things that you've done. So why is it that you say this one is the most bizarre of all?
Well, everything that makes World War II comes together in this story. Nazis, stolen art, resistance, executions, collaborators, you know, everything comes together in this story.
Mm. So could you tell us then, as far as you've been able to ascertain it, the story of Portrait of a Young Girl, the artwork, what happened to it between the Second World War and when you were able to discover it in the last few days?
Yes, let's go back half a year ago. There is this guy in the Netherlands, which has a normal surname, a Dutch surname. And one day he is at his grandmother's home and they tell him a secret. They say, look, we changed our surname after World War II. Our real surname is Seifert. And then the guy almost faints, because Seifert was one of the highest collaborators in the Netherlands. He was a Dutch general before World War II started. Then during World War II, he collaborated with the Germans. He became a commander, the general of the Dutch volunteer legion. The Dutch, some of them volunteered, and they had an own division within the Waffen-SS. So he was more or less a Waffen-SS general, a Dutch Waffen-SS general. This unit fought at Leningrad in 43. They stand with Hitler in the last days of the Third Reich, the last days in 45 in Berlin. So this guy is a very notorious guy, one of the highest collaborating Dutchmen in World War II. In 43, somebody rang his bell. He opened the door and there were two guys standing there. And they said, are you General Seifert? And he said, yes. And they shot him. The next day he died. The resistance fighters, two very famous Dutch resistance fighters, one was interrogated on the second floor. He was binded at a chair and he jumped out of the window because he knew they're going to torture me and I don't want to betray my friends. The other guy was arrested. He was executed. So when Seifert died, they gave him a funeral, a state funeral. There was a wreath of Adolf Hitler there. The Germans retaliated against the Dutch. They started Operation Silbertanne. Groups of SS men went through the Netherlands executing Dutch men of who they thought they were opposing the German occupation. So thousands and thousands of people have died because of this man. So this guy, this young man there, he stands up, he faints, and he stands up, and he thinks, oh my God, I'm a descendant of Hendrik Seifert. And then his grandmother takes him to the hallway. And there is this painting of a young girl, a very beautiful painting by Toon Kelder. And the grandmother says, do you recognize this painting? And he says, yes, of course, I've seen it my whole life. And then she turns it around. And there we see a label of Goudsticker. The biggest art theft in history was during World War II. Hitler was an art fanatic, Goering was one, and you know, they looted millions of pieces of art. all around Europe. And the name that stuck most is the Goudsticker name. Goudsticker was a Jewish art dealer before World War II. He was the biggest art dealer in the Netherlands. And when the Nazis entered the Netherlands, he fled to England by boat. And at night, he went outside for some fresh air, and he fell down and he died during his flight. The Nazis confiscated all his paintings, 1,200. Göring personally, the second man in the Third Reich, personally confiscated all these paintings. And, you know, these days, the heirs of the Goudsticker are trying to recover these paintings. Where are they? And the name Goudsticker became a symbol of looted art in World War II, the biggest art theft in history. So this grandmother shows him this label. And she says, this is our family secret. Well, we have two. First of all, we are descendants of Seifert. Mm. And second, this painting is here. We cannot tell anybody. It's looted from Jews. We can never tell anybody. We can never sell it. So this all happens in one day. Can you imagine?
That's a hell of a night for this guy.
Yeah, he was flabbergasted, you know. And then he started thinking, and he knew the family will never return this painting. He wanted the painting to be returned, you know, to set the record straight. But he knew the family would never do it.
Can I ask you, Arthur, did your source immediately recognize the significance of that Goudsticker name?
Absolutely. Goudsticker is the brand, you know, for looted art in World War II, especially in the Netherlands, but all around the world. Half a year ago, we had a big case. It went global too in Argentina. And another Goudsticker was found hanging on the wall from Nazi descendants. And it was spotted by two Dutch journalists because they were watching...
It's like a real estate ad.
Exactly. You have read it too. A real estate ad. They saw it on internet, you know, and they thought, oh my God, it's hanging above their sofa. So that was also a big deal. So it's a very famous name all around the world. So he recognized that and he thought, oh my God. You know, he was a young boy, fresh. He had a future. And then they tell him the family secret. We are the descendants of a Nazi general. And by the way, we have here a looted painting from Goudsticker.
It's absolutely extraordinary. Now, Arthur, I know over the years you've got some mysterious phone calls and tip-offs in your time, but this one really must have taken the cake. Do you know how your source became aware of you?
Well, I have my own television series in the Netherlands, and even you know how to find me, you know, from Australia. So it was not that difficult for him, but he knew he had a problem. He wanted this piece to go back to the Goudsticker family, but he knew the family would never admit that they had it.
Yes.
He thought if somebody calls them, they would say, we don't have it, and they would destroy it. In the Netherlands and in most countries all around the world, you cannot send the police. There was something like the statute of limitations. Even if you have a painting looted from World War II above your sofa, the police cannot enter your home. You cannot do anything. So he thought, what can I do? And then he came up with, I have to put it out in the press. I have to show the world what my family is hiding with proof, with pictures, with audio tapes. And then, well, you know... there's only one guy you can call in such case, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's no surprise that a person with that problem comes to you.
But I mean that literally, you know? It's not like I'm the best, but I'm really more or less the only one you can call in such cases. So he called me through an intermediary and he explained the story. And for me, it was a shock too, you know? Goudsticker, the symbol for looting for World War II, and then in the hands of the descendants of Seifert, Waffen-SS general. The case in Argentina went global, but it was in hands of the right hand of Hermann Göring, but that was a state official, you know. He was not even an SS something. Mm. In this case, we have a Waffen-SS general, you know. How bad do you want it to get, you know? 80 years after the war, this painting is hanging there. It's like, so it blew my mind.
It is absolutely extraordinary, the seniority of the Nazis involved. And I suppose given that, it's only appropriate that the Indiana Jones of the art world would get involved as well. So Arthur, once you got this information, what exactly did you do? What was the nature of your investigation?
Goudsticker was the biggest art dealer in the Netherlands between the two world wars. And during that time, he had sold pieces too, which are not considered to be looted, you know, before the Nazis entered the Netherlands. So I had to make sure that this particular painting was indeed one that was looted by the Nazis. So I did my research and I found this painting in an auction catalog from 1940. He had fled, Goudsticker, he had died. Goering confiscated all of the works. Some of them went to Germany, to Adolf Hitler. Others were auctioned. And I could find this painting in an auction in 1940 after the Nazis had confiscated his collection. And there was no picture on it. It said Tonkel, the portrait of a young girl. So I was pretty sure this was the painting. And what made it conclusive, there was the number 92. That was the lot number of this auction. And on pictures on the back of the painting, there was also the number 92.
There you go.
So I thought, bingo. And then, of course, I had to make sure that it was not restituted after the war, because sometimes painting that had been looted during the war had been restituted to the family.
And then sold on, yeah.
Yeah, so I contacted the lawyers of the heirs of Goudsticker. And I asked them, this painting, is it still being searched for by the family? And they said, yes, Arthur, did you find it? Because we really want it back. And I said, yeah, I found it, but it's a little bit problematic. That's all I said. You know, you cannot tell them the truth, you know, they will faint too. And then we started to think, what can we do, you know? It took a few months. We had secret audio tapes from the grandmother and other family members, but from the grandmother who admits that she knows that it's looted, you know?
So the relative recorded the grandmother making these admissions?
Yes. And we knew if we're going to bring this in the public, she's going to deny, you know. But we were well prepared. We had everything. We had the pictures. We had audio tapes. So we thought, we have to bring it. That's his wish, the family member. I know if we bring it, it will go global. You know, the whole world will talk about it. Look, I'm talking now to you. And we thought there is a risk that they will destroy it.
Yes.
That's always a possibility, you know, they can start to panic. So we thought we have to put it in such a way that there is no escape for them. And you must remember, I don't want to harm anybody, you know. So we didn't mention their current name. We wanted to mention that they are descendants of Seifert and they changed their surname after the war. You cannot blame people to be a descendant of a Nazi, a high-ranking Nazi. You can't, you know. But if you have a Goudsticker on the wall, looted from Jews, you know, for 80 years, there might come a day that you have to decide to bring it back, you know. And if you don't come to that day, we will help you a little bit. And that what's happened last Monday.
Yeah, so what has become of the portrait of a young girl, this precious artwork? We know that it was hanging in the hall of this relatively anonymous family's apartment for 80 years. What's happened to it in the last week?
Well, we brought it on Monday morning and, you know, it was headlines, front page of the Telegraaf, the biggest Dutch newspaper, and we brought it internationally. So it exploded, you know, it made headlines all around the world. Goudsticker, which everybody knows, hanging on the wall of the descendants of a Waffen-SS general, you know, that's a sticky headline.
Yes.
So the family, of course, you know, they called each other and they thought, oh my God, what is going on? And they read the article and they thought, who is the mole in our family? You know, that's the first question. Who is it? They had no clue because we didn't say it. They now know who it was, you know, because you don't need a Sherlock Holmes to find out eventually who it was. But at the moment, they didn't know. And of course, they start to panic. What can we do? And then I was working with a journalist, a Dutch journalist, very famous journalist, John van den Heuvel. And he called the family and said, do you have this painting at your wall? And she said, yes, we have, because she knew we had pictures, you know. And then she said, but I didn't know it was a Goudsticker. And of course she knew because we have audio tapes. But who cares, you know? I understand her, you know. So the journalist said, what do you want to do with it? And she said, well, if it's from Goudsticker, it has to be returned. And then the journalist, who is far smarter than I am, he took the opportunity. He thought, well, this is the moment to strike, you know. And he said, if you want, I can come to your home and pick it up. And I thought, oh my God, what's happening there, you know? And she said, okay, that's fine. So you must understand, Jewish families hadn't had the opportunity until 20 years ago to recover these paintings. 40 years ago, if a Jew saw somewhere in the world, in a museum, a painting that belonged to his family, and he went to reclaim it, they said, you should be lucky you survived the war. Go away. That's how it was. So for these families, and even if they spot something somewhere, it can take years, sometimes decades, to get a painting back. And we got it back all in one day.
Amazing.
And the funny thing is, I got an email from the heirs of Houtstik, and they said it was a roller coaster for us. You know, I didn't inform them that it would happen. So on Monday morning, their mailbox flows over with mails. Oh, did you read it in the Netherlands? What's happening? And then they're reading it. They're thinking, oh my God. And then a couple of hours later, I sent them a picture of the two of us, the journalist and myself, with the painting. And
did you go to the property to get it? And
well, he went. I thought I shouldn't go, you know, maybe it will be a shootout. What do I know, you know? I thought, if you want to put your life at stake, be my guest, you know. So he went there and he got it back. And at night, we were invited in a Dutch, the number one talk show. And we took it with us. It was not my idea, you know, it's a little bit of a circus. But my entire country and the entire world had read this. And then a couple of hours later, we enter a live TV show, both of us with a painting in the middle. And the funny thing is, you know, the last days I have been called by so many lawyers saying, how did you do it? We are fighting the same fight as you, but it takes us years. And I said, yeah, well, I don't know what we did, you know, it just...
Sometimes the pieces just all fall into place, yeah?
Yes, and this was such a day, you know. Mm. It's a world record. It's really a world record to put something out in the press in the morning, and then a couple of hours later they said, well, here is the painting, and thank you very much.
Well, Arthur Brown, you've had some incredible moments in your career. Is there another moment in your career that you can recall that is right up there with that?
No, not in this time frame, but, you know, every story is crazy. The Ring of Oscar Wilde, the famous Irish-English writer. Oscar Wilde had gifted a friend a golden ring, and after he died, this friend, they donated it to Oxford. It was stolen in 2002 from Oxford, and the thief got caught, and he said, the ring doesn't exist anymore because I got it melted down. So 15 years later, I get this ring, you know, in my hands. I found it back. That was such a beautiful moment. We filmed it for Dutch television. And then I'm so happy, and I walk into a police station and I put it on the table and I said, look. And he said, what is it? And I said, the ring of Oscar Wilde. And he looked in his computer and he said, computer says no. I said, what do you mean it says no? He said, well, according to us, it doesn't exist anymore. It had been melted down. I said, but you can see it here. And he said, no, yeah, I can see it, but the computer says I cannot see it. So I said, what should I do with it? He said, well, I'm not going to take it in. So I walked out and I called Oxford, but it was summertime. Nobody picked up the phone. So I thought, my God, what am I going to do with the ring of Oscar Wilde? Nobody wants it back. So I put it on my finger and I smuggled it to the Netherlands. And then a couple of months later, we smuggled it again to England and we handed it over to Oxford. You know, it's all these strange stories always. I can tell you tons of it.
Indeed. Well, with any other person, I would put money on the fact that this story you've told us would be the most extraordinary thing that would happen in your life or career. But with you, Arthur, I'm not so sure. There may be more amazing things to happen still. It's been a delight speaking with you. Just finally, I just did want to ask, I've read that after another one of your amazing earlier victories that Da Vinci Code author Dan Brown actually sent you a note which calls you the real world Robert Langdon. So I've got to ask you, Arthur, do you have a note from George Lucas calling you the Indiana Jones of the art world as well?
No, I feel shameful for this. You know, I'm not Indiana Jones. You are looking at me now. You think I look like, what do I look like? You know, a hobo. But luckily nobody sees it.
Yeah, the listeners are all imagining Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford. Don't worry.
Yeah. No, but I'm not, you know, I'm a simple Dutch guy. But, you know, some journalists have put this. I drive a bicycle, you know, for God's sake. And Harrison Ford is a beautiful man. I'm average, you know, Julian. Like you know how it feels. The two of us are average. So, you know, I feel ashamed for it. But if I walk into a bar and a nice woman says to me, aren't you the Indiana Jones of the art? Well, I said, yes, that's me. So sometimes...
You've got to take it. Absolutely. Well, I think you've earned it, Arthur. And it's been a great pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
You're welcome.
That's the art detective, a.k.a. the Indiana Jones of the art world, Arthur Brand.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.